I was reading earlier this week in just my daily readings in 2 Kings, and I'll have a lot of these scriptures on the screen because I'll be sharing a few scriptures this morning. And so if you want to turn to it, I'll be in 2 Kings 17 just for a moment here. But I was reading this, and let me read this, and then we'll dive in to what he has for us this morning. I'm going to pick it up in verse 9. It says, "And the people of Israel did secretly against the Lord their God things that were not right. They built for themselves high places in all their towns, from watchtower to fortified city. They set up for themselves pillars rim on every high hill and under every green tree. And there they made offerings on all the high places, as the nations did, whom the Lord carried away before them. And they did wicked things, provoking the Lord to anger. And they served idols, of which the Lord had said to them, 'You shall not do this.' Yet the Lord warned Israel and Judah by every prophet and every seer, saying, 'Turn from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, in accordance with all the law that I commanded your fathers, and that I sent to you by my servants, the prophets.' But they would not listen. They were stubborn, as their fathers had been, who did not believe in the Lord their God. They despised his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and the warnings that he gave them. They went after false idols and became false. They followed the nations that were around them, concerning whom the Lord had commanded them that they should not do like them." Isn't it interesting? It says they went after false idols and became false. Before I dive into this morning, let me just pray for us, because what's going to happen this morning is we're just going to go after seeking God, the one true God, the source of life. Because here there's obviously a drifting that happens in our lives. And this is opposed. This message is really opposed this morning by the world, by the enemy. And he just does not want you to have this information. He wants us to be chasing after other gods. And so let me pray that we could enter into this morning. So Father, I just ask that by your Spirit, who is stronger in us than he who is in this world, the enemy, the deceiver, I just pray that your Spirit be strong this morning in this place, that our minds would be set free, our hearts would be turned to you, veils would come off, we could see things for what they really are. Lord, help us to heed your warnings. Help us to heed your call to us to follow you and to seek you. You warned us, don't chase after these things. You're going to want what the world is chasing. You're going to want to worship what they're worshiping, but don't worship me. I am the God. I am the one and only God. These are other imitations. They're false gods. They are not true gods that created all things. So we enter in this morning. Father, grab our hearts. Show us, reveal, open our eyes to see you for who you are. We lift this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so with that, 2 Kings, it's just that reminder when you read. I love kind of going through the Bible every year. I have my own reading plan. Some of you might have your own devotion plans and stuff. But I love going through the Bible because you kind of get those big picture perspectives, which help kind of understand the ebb and flow of mankind, the ebb and flow of God's love and pursuit of his people, his plan. And as we know, the chosen people just struggled a lot, and we still do to this day, to stay his, to like stay pursuing him wholeheartedly and following his design, his plan. They would drift, or they would get caught up really in what was going on in the different places that they were on their journeys or whatever, and especially into the promised land. Remember, the promised land was God's plan. I'm going to take you into this land. I'm going to give it to you. Then you can, I'll be your God. You'll be my people. This will work. You'll be blessed. I'll take care of you. But they didn't always wipe out everyone. They didn't always take down all those false God worship altars that were there. They kept them in those high places. That's what he was talking about. He warned them against those things. Don't worship the idols. This is what I'm wiping out on the earth, is people that are pursuing the world and not me. He's the one true God. And I just felt like just to say that up front this morning, and that's why I wanted to have that be a secondary title this morning, is just to say there is only one God. There's one God that created this world. Don't be mistaken. There's, you know, a people that worship a sun god or a god of the ocean or whatever. We know this God who created the ocean and the sun and gives us the air to breathe and formed us. We're actually image bearers of that creator God. And so let's not be deceived and pulled away into these other false idols, false gods, and then become false. That just that warning there, that got me. I don't want to live out of falsehood. I want to live out of the truth. So I really wanted to begin this morning with just that kind of reminder of kind of the path that many people walk even to this day, is just after false gods. So this morning, we're going to basically be sitting in Psalm 63. So if you want to turn to Psalm 63, I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation for that passage this morning. But I'll have it on the screen there. But you can turn to Psalm 63. We'll be, you know, you can probably put your finger in here, maybe a piece of paper in there, because we'll keep coming back to this passage this morning. So what I want to do is start off by just reading it as we enter in this morning. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong hand holds me securely. The very beginning part there says, O God, you are my God. And so again, just the psalmist here making a declaration, having made a choice that this is my God. Oh God, you are my God. And I think for us this morning, to start there, is this your God that the psalmist is referring to here, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who, remember, rescued Daniel out of the lion's den, or stood with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the burning furnace? The God who rescued his people out of Egypt and parted the waters, right, that they could walk across dry land, who still leads his people today, you know, that same God who in flesh came in the form of Jesus, right, who dwelt amongst his people, brought healing, right, brought restoration, set, you know, gave sight to the blind, set the captives free. This is the God, this is this God here he's talking about. You are my God. Remember in Joshua when he says, choose you this day who you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so here's a really important place to start for us in the psalmist right here, as we're saying, there is a lot that we can seek after. There's a lot we give our lives over to. Oh God, you are that source. Oh God, you are my God. You, I have set my heart to. I have set my path to. I have set my life to. So that is important for us to say. Now, if you don't have that relationship with God yet, then I just invite you into it this morning. He's made a way through his son, Jesus Christ, which is awesome, because this is the issue for the whole Bible right here, was that God is, when sin came in and separated us from God, he made the way for us to come back in right relationship with him so that we can say that. He is my God. I am with him and he is with me, and we are one again, restored. And now I can draw life. I can walk with him as he walks with us. Just remember how he walked in the garden with them. He does that right now with us through his son, Jesus Christ, through the power of his spirit. So I invite you, it's simply accepting that sacrifice of his son. It's accepting the plan that God made for us to be made right with him. That faith in Jesus brings us into that relationship with God, by which we, along with the psalmist, can say, he's my God. And I love him, and I believe in him, and I want him and him alone. This isn't a God that just was in the past, but is right now. This isn't a God found by just a few special people in history, but can be found by all people. It's not a distant God that can't be experienced or not known. But this is a God who walks with us and us with him. This is the God that the psalmist is reintroducing to us this morning to remind us, go after God with your life. Seek him, know him, be known by him, but know him. He wants to make himself known to us. The second part of that first verse there says, O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you. Look at those words. I earnestly search. My soul thirsts. You know, just that, and you're just so thirsty. And just to drink a cup of water or whatever, just to quench that thirst. My whole body longs for you, like yearning for you. That earnestly there, that real important, like, urgentness. I need to find it. You know, think about Psalm 42 when it says, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. I mean, sometimes when you hear a verse like that, you know, oh, pretty deer on the hillside. The imagery is the deer wants water. And we know when we have our drought here for years, I mean, it's been a nice year with rain this year. So all the animals are enjoying the water that's out there. But what were they doing when it was drought? They're like visiting our homes. If you leave the door open, they're like glad to come in and drink some water. I need to find water. You know, creation understands these principles, like the animals out there. They will search for it. Otherwise, life will cease to exist. You need that water, right? So my soul longs for you, God, the water of life. That's what the psalmist is presenting here. Psalm 27, another great psalm, says, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. Again, just seeing the psalmist's heart, this is what I want to seek. This is what I'm after. I just want to be with the Lord. Gaze upon him. I want to think of him. I want to be with him. You know, is it just people in the scriptures? I'm going to just go to Romans 8 for a moment and pick up in verse 19 of Romans 8. And notice this. It says, for creation, this is verse 19, for creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only creation, but we ourselves who have first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. I mean, here you're getting a great imagery. It's almost like, remember like in the Gospels when he says, you know, let them praise me, otherwise the rocks are going to cry out. You know, it's almost like if you hear that, you know, maybe like a creaking of a branch waving in the wind. I mean, just imagine it groaning, longing for its source of life too, which is God, waiting for this moment in time when all things will be made right with him. Creation groans. Creation longs. And then it says, as we ourselves do, which is us, Paul's again saying, we as a people who have the Spirit of God, we long and we yearn for the Lord. I'm going to turn for a moment. So if you put your paper in Psalm 63. We're going to spend just a moment in Philippians 3 this morning, because what a cool picture of this passionate longing that I'm after this morning that the psalmist is after this morning. And I'm going to look at Philippians 3, and this is Paul writing, and we're going to pick up in verse 1, and it says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice in the Lord to write these same things to you. It is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh." Let me just stop here for a moment, because what he sets up here in the beginning of 3 is just a warning to what is beginning to happen, is people putting all this emphasis on maybe an outward appearance of things, you know, being circumcised, maybe like, hey, look at how many church services I'm going to. Look at how much money I gave in my last offering. And, you know, this is what it's all about, you know. And Paul's like, don't put the confidence in the things of the flesh. The confidence needs to be in Christ and Christ alone, right? So then he's like, don't, you know, so beware of that. You know, look out for that kind of faith that's putting so much emphasis on the things that we do, rather than on the emphasis of Christ himself and what he has done. So then he goes, so in verse 4, "Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, I persecuted the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." I was like, so bold, man. "But whatever gain I had," past tense, you know, "whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count," present tense, "everything as a loss because of its surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For this sake, for his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him," and that is a really key phrase there, "know him, I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." And then verse 12, this is really cool. I mean, has he arrived there yet? "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." I mean, this is the pursuit of Paul here. He's saying, I pursue to know. I just want to know Christ. All this stuff, he's like, who cares? Who cares, quite honestly? It's him. It's all about him. If I gained a lot of these things, and some of these things are good. They're good things. Like, you know, having a successful career and job and, you know, I don't know, accomplishing good things in even our church ministries, being able to bless people and all. Just a lot of good things in life. If I have all of that and I don't know Christ, or I haven't had Christ, it doesn't matter. I'm at a loss. He's like, the goal where I need to land is having Christ, knowing him completely. It's almost like, if we're going to talk about anything, let's just talk about him. Don't talk about the stuff or what you did. Talk about what God is doing in it. Make sure that he's the focal point. That's who we need to come to. That's who we need to long for. And so he's reminding us here of that pursuit. Now, it's interesting from where we are right now in the beginning of this journey this morning. If people throughout history of the Bible have been, as we have seen, longing and seeking after God, not everyone, but there's been some who have sought and found him and given their lives completely to journey after the Lord. You have creation groaning and longing, as we've seen. You got Paul here. You have people in our current history, church history. There's some amazing people have gone before us that have brought reformation to the church and brought some incredible things that we read and are encouraged and spurred on. And they love the Lord and are seeking. So, you know, you have these different examples. Then why aren't we groaning? Or are we? That's a question to ask yourself. Are we groaning, longing, yearning just like creation does? Do I seek that way? Like, above all else, like, I'm after that. A couple questions just to help you in the beginning of this morning, and to ask yourself, just get us there. Or what kinds of things stir your affection to Christ? Like, these activities or this that happens or is going on makes me think about Christ. It makes me think about God. It puts my focus on it. I don't know if it's worship music, maybe a reading in your devotions in the morning, just obviously put your thoughts onto Him. Maybe it's just a brother or sister in Christ coming and building into your life, and you get to talk about God and what He's doing, and these things stir your affection to Christ. I mean, go after those type of things in your life. The goal is to move to know Him. That's what Paul was after, to know Him. Whatever helps you know Him, stir your affection towards Him. Those are the things we need to pursue, long, yearn. I need to find it. Okay? Maybe another way of looking at it, what is robbing your affection from Christ? What are the things that are taking your mind off of Him? It almost like clouds it, or makes you're so busy or distracted. What are those things? Because if you can identify those, well, then maybe start taking those things away, or at least acknowledging that, man, I'm getting distracted off of my goal, which is the water of life. Again, like that deer finding that water. So I long, I yearn, as the psalmist is saying here, for God, because You are my God, You are my source. Go back to Psalm 63 there. Verse 1, O God, You're my God, I earnestly search for You, my soul thirsts, my whole body longs. And then notice that in this parched and weary land where there is no water. Can we admit that refreshment and joy are robbed pretty daily in our walks? Often this world and the way it functions, it's a trying time. It demands a lot of us. It doesn't, I mean, it promises a lot, but I don't think we find that, you know, refreshment or that wholeness or that satisfiedness from what the things that the world offers. And so what happens, it can really run dry quick in a daily journey if you're not tapped into this source where you found it, and then you're staying at that stream, right? Just, you know, like the tree planted by the stream, like in Psalm 1, that's a really cool picture. Just draws the water, right? Isaiah 55 that Wayne talked about at the beginning of the month, it is great. You know, it just talks about, you know, come, buy, eat, feast, you know. But why spend your money, or why work on the things that don't satisfy? So there is a reality of where we might be spending our time or money and resources that really isn't satisfying. It's just running dry. And so this kind of picture here in Psalm 63 to say it's a parched, weary, dry land that you're going to navigate as a believer right now, and you need this source of God to draw from. And then you can survive in the desert. He fed and kept people alive in the desert for 40 years. That's a long time. Most of us wouldn't survive 3 days on our own in a desert. You know, He can do it in a dry and weary land, but the source is Him, right? We've got to depend on Him. We've got to draw from that. I wanted to take a few minutes this morning and just slight, not really a detour, but just a very important, I think, context is to understand that there's so much opposing your union with God, your oneness with God, this connection with God. There's an unholy trinity of sorts in the scriptures called the world, the flesh, and the enemy. And I just wanted to break these down just briefly, because with awareness, we can understand maybe the dynamics that are going on in your daily life. The world, you know, we're not talking about waterfalls, hummingbirds, you know, the natural world. It's beautiful to look at those things. We're talking about the fallen world from sin that man has created. Okay, you know, there's a pace to it. There's a value system to it. There's a culture to the world that we live in. And often the way the world functions and its culture values is often set against our soul care. Truly the way God designed our soul, the way that we're fulfilled, often the world does not fulfill that. It leaves that as a pretty empty hole in us. We can only find that in God. Just maybe three things to think about from the world's perspective. Beware of the pace of the world. It's insane. In this digital age right now, it's crazy. I mean, it's in constant motion. And because of things like, you know, that we can have in our pockets, I mean, there's almost like no relief of anything, any information, doing something in the moment. It's just this high demand. And then just the pace of the world wanting to always be having that cutting edge, you know, like, the, you know, keeping up with the Joneses concept type of thing. It's a grueling pace. I mean, it's like a hamster wheel, you know. And you try to get off that hamster wheel, I mean, the world will just look at you like you're insane. Like, what are you doing? Just relaxing. And you should be doing something like, you know, come to this. Or it just keeps you wound up. It's exhausting to keep up with. It's just impossible to keep up with. We try. But the demand is way beyond what God ever intended us to do on a daily journey. But beware of, there's a pace to the world, okay? Beware of that. Keep in mind a balance of intake of content, okay? And the reason I put balance here, content's important. And actually to enjoy maybe a show on TV or something you like to check out on the internet or whatever, I mean, there's a barrage of information coming at you. I don't know if you realize that on any given, I mean, just there's like noise. There's almost like no silence. Silence is bad in the world. We don't even know how to be silent. If we try to be silent right now for 30 seconds, it would seem like an eternity. I mean, that's like 15 seconds. I mean, where does your brain go? You're trying to even almost grab information because that's what you're used to. I need information. I need something coming at me. I don't know what to do with nothing coming at me. It's almost like if we could just learn to silence ourselves, you would almost be able to gather your thoughts, believe it or not. We never settle on anything almost anymore. We can't. We don't have time to. There's another thing of information coming at me, and so I hardly have any time to process anything, right? So beware of keeping those things in balance. Have some checkpoints. I mean, there's a certain level of TV you should allow yourself to watch. Maybe so much of some searching on things on internet. Otherwise, there's a never-ending flow of YouTube videos. And, you know, I don't know what things that might distract you, but this is important to understand. There is this coming from the world, just an overwhelming amount of content. And it's just impossible to process it. Gail and I were talking earlier. She has a great practice, a one-minute pause of, like, just moving from, you know, maybe doing emails to now this phone call I have to make. Is just, okay, just take a minute. Just pause from that. Prepare my mind for maybe a conversation I'm going to have on the phone. Just like being more kind to your heart and your approach from moving from one thing to another. Add a little space there. Space would be helpful for our souls. So keep in some balance those things. And then beware of the culture and the values of the world. I don't need to mention too much on this, but, you know, things like materialism is a big thing to the world. Success, and it's all about selfish, motivated things. Like, take care of yourself. You deserve this, you know, and this is what's important to the world. It puts it all over the commercials, and, you know, it's just, it's like a self-sustaining value of the world. Like, it's all about taking care of yourself. You're the one that gets to decide what goes for yourself. Just beware of the culture there, okay? Don't buy into all of that. That's not true for you. You know, if any of these things are tracking with you, if you're realizing, oh yeah, you know, I could probably relate to some of that, you need to detach from some of these things. You need to detox, okay, from the world. Like, in other words, we live in the world, but not of it, right? So we need to have some buffers. We need to have some parameters by which we function safely in the world so that we can have God and it doesn't get quenched out by the world. Now, another thing is the flesh. The flesh, I don't mean just your, you know, like your physical body. because it talks about in Scripture your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. What we mean by flesh is this self-life, this sin nature, that inclination to simply do life apart from God. You know, we typically think of the flesh maybe in terms of sin categories. You know, it's my alcohol addiction, it's my sexual sin, it's, you know, my bitterness that I just can't let go of, right? And it is those things that is a sin nature, but underneath that stuff, beneath that stuff, on a far more operational basis, is that assumed independence from God. You know, like we shoot up a prayer in the morning and we just go about to do my day like I'm going to do my day. Like, that was it. That was my connection with God. But now I'm going to make my decisions and I'm going to do what I want to do. There's just this assumed independence from God. You know, there's that natural, engraved insistence to do life on our own terms. I mean, can you relate to that? That sinful flesh, we just want to do it on our own terms. I mean, God seems to be so counterintuitive to what he says for us to do. It's like, I don't want to do that because it goes against the flesh. I want to do it my way. We want to control. We want to be independent. We want to make decisions and manage my own life. Okay, and this is what the sacrificing is about in the Scriptures. You know, when God says, you know, offer your lives, you know, acknowledge me that I am in control here. Okay, I am the God of your life. I will take care of you and I'll take care of these things. And the sacrifice says that. It puts our lives in God's control and not ours. It's kind of a good example of tithing. It's a good test of this. It's just a quick, easy cut straight to the quick. Does God get to say what you do with your money, or do you? Like, we hate hearing stuff like that. It's just like, it's my money. I want to do what I want to do with it. Well, does God have say over the things of our life? It's all about him. He's in control. But the flesh gets in the way. We start functioning on our own, okay? Even the people being brought out of that great rescue, out of the land, you know, into the promised land. I mean, cloud by day, fire by night. You know, maybe it stopped for a day, then goes for, you know, a month, and then goes for 3 days, and then stops for, you know, a week. And then it's like, can we have a pattern here, God? It's like, just go when I say go. Stay when I say stay. You know, King David, you know, in the battles, I love that he asked, Lord, do I go fight him? You know, do I go fight? Yeah, go. I'm going to give him to you. And then it's like almost like the next chapter, it's like the same place. Like kind of the same kind of, you know, like or style would just be, oh, I got this. I know what to do now. Well, let's go. But he asked, do I go? Well, no, wait. You know, I'll give you a little sign, you know, like the sound of, you know. So it's kind of cool. God doesn't work the same every time. So we need to be with him constantly to know, is this, do I go? Do I stay? Right? We don't like that. That disruption. We're stubborn to the resistance. We're very resistant to life. To do life on terms apart from God. We don't like to be interrupted, interfered with. Okay? This is the flesh. One other thing that the flesh really comes at us is comfort. You know, where do you go for comfort? You know, when you come home at the end of your day and it's a hard day, you're frazzled, maybe you're beat up, you're discouraged, you're tired, okay, because the pace of the world. What do you do with that? You know, very few of us maybe put on some worship music, just reflect. You know, process, maybe pray and just release some things to God and then go about a nice evening, right? You know, kind of like that buffer. It's like, I just need to release some things to God right now. You know, we go to the fridge. We go to a bottle of wine. We turn on the TV. You know what your stuff is. You know, you distract, you medicate, you numb yourself to the things just to kind of get through the next day. Beware of seeking life outside of him. Because this is the issue. Why is that an issue, those things? Is because you're finding life in the TV or in the bottle of wine or not him. It's just not going to work for you. It's not sustainable. It just won't bring healing, wholeness, what you really need, the satisfying, right, that the psalmist is after. And then lastly, the enemy, you know, he functions very much in accusation. You know, God's far away from you or you're far away from him. Like, He uses things like feeling disqualified, you know, because of sin in your life. Well, I can't do it. I can't be a Christian. If this is, you know, assaults on your heart, diminishment, He robs joy from your life. He distracts. He distorts perspective. He deceives. He's really good at that, you know? And the enemy is real. I hope you understand the enemy is real. And he's a force against your union with God. In Acts 17, verse 28, we've talked about this before. In him, we live and move and have our being. He's talking about in the Creator God. We live, we move, we have our being. Like today, read that, Arian. That's from the Lord. He gave us that. You did not create that. He gives us our being. But the enemy clouds. He distorts that perspective. Very few of us live on a regular basis through the day with that reality of God's presence with me today. In that moment. Like, oh, I've got God. I'm good. The enemy gets in. He fogs. He veils. He distracts. He distorts so that you won't feel the presence of God. That you forget about the presence of God. That you're not focused on the presence of God. So that, again, it's all you and the world, and it just doesn't seem to work, right? No answers. There's no hope. There's no rescue. It's very discouraging. The enemy is real, and he's after you. This pick, I came across this pick, and I don't even remember where I saw it, but it was really cool. It said, the enemy wouldn't be attacking you if something valuable wasn't inside of you. Thieves don't break into empty houses. Isn't it interesting to kind of think of that? I love that. There's something very valuable in you. That relationship with God cannot be taken from you. He's just going to distract you from tapping into it. He doesn't want you to pay attention to the source that you have in you. So he's going to try to rob, distract, distort, get you to not activate the very real relationship of a living God in you. And so the enemy is after that. So understand the world, the flesh, and the enemy. These are three major things that are after your union with God. But let's jump back into these last few verses of Psalm 63 and just bring it home here to this morning. The psalmist, again, is just reminding us of this critical component, which is longing and seeking after him. Look at verse 2. I've seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting my hands to you in prayer. And this is where I got to my other title of the message, is seeking and finding. And I like seeking is kind of the key, but I like the word finding. He's actually finding God. I've seen you in the sanctuary, right? You know, I've beheld, I've felt your, you know, this amazing love, this unfailing love. It's better than life. He's calling it out. He's like, this is better than life. This love is unbelievable. It shows up. It doesn't give up on me. It's real. I praise you. I lift up my hands to you. He's actually found, he's finding God. And he's finding the realities of God in his life. And so for us, seeking and finding him in our days, are we pursuing him? Are we seeking him? But then, what are you finding? And I'm just telling you this morning, the bottom of my heart, this is it. This is the crux of the sermon this morning, is literally just seek in that way, like the deer is seeking, okay? Seek. Because if you do, I firmly believe you will find. You will find. Because if you're honestly seeking like that, then he's going to show up. And you might see him here amongst fellowship of other believers in the sanctuary, like he's saying. You might find him on a cool walk and prayer walk as you're listening to some worship music, and a worship song just says this really cool thing that just is the truth of God's word, and it just made you think of him. He's going to show up in some cool way that you know, you're struggling in an area and feeling discouraged, and his word came to you and just remind you that you know he forgave you and that you're loved, right? That unfailing love. So, you know, questions for you in that would be, where are you finding the presence of God? Where are you finding the presence of God these days? Yeah, you know, I hope there's some specifics to you. And if not, start seeking this way in a new, fresh way, and then start seeing what comes to you this week. Where do you find the presence of God? Is he showing up as you're seeking? How have you experienced his unfailing love? How have you experienced his unfailing love? Where has it not failed you? What difference is Christ making in your daily walk? Not what difference did he make, what difference is he making right now in your daily walk when you wake up today because you have Jesus and you know he loves you and he's with you. What difference is that making in your approach today to life? You know, how is the Spirit of God showing up? You know, how are you seeing him just being your comforter and your guide and just your helper, right, that the Scriptures talk about? You satisfy me, in verse 5 there, you satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. You know, satisfaction. This is really where it's at. He's found the source. Again, that one and only source of life. He's seeking and he's finding, and it's truly fulfilling. Okay, he's found fulfillment in him. It's like the richest of food. It's like this quenches my thirst. This is the answer. He has found it, and now he is tapped in, and he's acknowledging, okay, the psalmist is acknowledging, and hopefully what you'll realize, this is it. I have arrived at the source, and now I need to stay and draw from it, because it just fulfills me. It sustains me. You know, orientation of your days is important. You know, is your orientation union with God? Connection with God, like you've found the well and you're drawing from it. Is this your orientation? You know, do we wake up in the morning, the first thing I need is union with God, draw from that well. The primary thing is union with him. Are we organizing our day to secure and cultivate that union with God? Are the things in my day keeping that the main thing? You know, whatever we're doing, it reveals what we're after. You know, some people start with a quiet time in the morning. Others maybe read the paper, watch the news. Others, you know, get up last minute, don't even take time to eat. They're out the door and on their way to the day. Okay, but these things reveal the things that we're after. You know, we want to come after the goal being union with God. Today, I got to have union with God. So I start with prayer in the morning. I start with reading, maybe a prayer walk. Maybe to work and back from work, I'm thinking about him. I'm releasing things to him. He's my, this union, that's the goal today, is union with him. This is what brings satisfaction. This is the richest of food for my soul, the psalmist is saying. This is where everything else will flow out of. You want freedom from addictions? Union with God. You want to be able to bring this power of Christ into your situations? Union with God. You want incredible clarity and guidance on an issue? Union with God, right? You want true healing, okay? Restoration, not Band-Aid, which is what we do with the TV and the other things. And just, I've earned it today. I'm just going to, you know, do something fun and get through the, you know, as a Band-Aid. You want healing and restoration. You want to be able to bring, like, strength to a situation? Union with God. Connection with God. It's nothing else. It's connection and union with God. This needs to be our orientation. Like, this is my center of my life, is God. I have found him. I have sought him. I continue to seek and I continue to find. Look at verse 6 and 7. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. You know, I love there again, just look at the focus, look at the intention, look at the thought that's going in to God. He's thinking about him. He's thinking about where his interactions have been with him. I think that end of day stuff for you is really important, by the way, how you end your day at the end of work. You know, focusing on him is so critical. I love that I get to walk home a lot, or I walk to work a lot. So as I'm walking to work, I'm actually preparing my heart. Like, I'm looking forward to how he's going to show up today. God, I need you today, right, that we sang. On my way home, it's like, Lord, I just need to release all this right now. Sometimes if we get home, sometimes we need to put on some worship music or something just to, like, transition. I need a transition. It's really wonderful to go to bed at peace, peace of heart. And you can only do that if you're spending some time processing with God. I meditated in the night with him. I've seen how you've helped me. Thank you, Lord, for helping me. I give that to you. We'll pick that up tomorrow. I trust you of how that's going to work out, right? It's just wonderful. Union with God looks that way. What is your focus on him? That song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, we've been saying it lately. It's been coming up in a lot of different things. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I love that. This stuff just starts going away. It's really not a big deal as much as we think it is, because I'm fixed on my focus on Jesus. That's the goal. Remembering is really important. He said there in those verses, because you are my helper, okay, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. So where has God helped you today? Thank him for that. Realize how he's helped you. Maybe you got through another day. I persevered through another day. Thank you, Lord, for helping me through that day. Right? Just an acknowledgement of that. Where has he brought, what has he brought you through? You know, some of us have gone, are still going through stuff even. So hang on to God. He's getting you through. He's getting you through. The last verse there, I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. So, you know, man, just cling. It's like he found it. He searched and he found it. And so now it's like, I am not going to let go of that. And I guess I encourage you in the same way. Cling. Cling to him. And his right strong hand will hold you securely. He will not fail you. He will not fail you. He will not fail provision for you. He will not fail showing up. He will not fail comfort. He will not fail encouragement, endurance, whatever you need. The source of life is him. And if you cling to him. Now again, remember, the world wants you to let go of that. The flesh is wanting to just do its own thing. Okay, the enemy is just trying to not get you engaged in that thinking, because you have what you need inside you, and that's the Holy Spirit. And the mature walk of the believer seeks after God, finds him, and clings to him, and depends on him. So, you know, and just this last little paragraph here, I just wrote a couple things down. Cling to him. Trust him. Depend. Rely on him. You know, find nourishment in him. Strength in him. Hope in him, love, life, joy, encouragement, find healing, actually genuine healing in you. Like you've been wounded in your life bad. And it's not a band-aid. Now he's actually done surgery on your heart. You're just not feeling bound by bitterness and rage anymore. You just feel like a piece of heart now about it. Like he's healed you, right? Direction. I just need it all the time. And so where do I get it? Union with God. Thank you, Lord, for giving me wisdom on what to do with that situation, that conversation, okay? Much, much, much more. It never runs dry. He's an infinite God, okay? Which means you will never run out of things to know about him. This is what's cool. So get into the habit of seeking and finding. Seek and find him, okay? But genuinely seek after the very thing that you absolutely need. Because anything else is false, and then it says it will become false, as it said there in 2 Kings. So I want to do something a little different, is just close with a song that I'm going to play from the back there that I just want you to process. I want you to process what we've just gone through, because you might just need to stay right in Psalm 63, which are the things of just genuine seeking, longing, yearning, grabbing a hold of, tasting and seeing the goodness of the Lord. Throw your whole life into that. That's the goal today, is union with God. Maybe you need to process some of the things that are coming against that union with God. The world, the flesh, the enemy, right, that we talked about. Maybe you need to identify some of those things and go, wow, I need to start pulling that stuff back into balance. I need to start putting some boundaries and some protective barriers over certain areas. What is God speaking to your heart this morning? And so I want you to listen to the song. It's become one of my favorite songs, because it's about lingering with the Lord. It's about, I have found it, and I'm going to sit and linger and stay and just draw from the well of life from him. And so let it minister to your heart right now as we go to closing. Thank you.
Sanctuary, my upper room, so I linger here with you. Push through the fear of silence till time has been removed. You are my sanctuary, my upper room. So I linger here with you. My dwelling place, where I am safe, my refuge from the storm. Open my heart to hear your heart, to love you more and more. I won't move. I'll linger here with you. Keep me present in this moment. There's more you want to do. You are my sanctuary, my upper room, so I linger here with you. My dwelling place, where I am safe, my refuge from the storm. Open my heart to hear your I'll linger here with you.
I wanna go further.
with you. I'll linger here with you.
Father, thank you for a place like this that we can function out of throughout our day. It's like a place of rest. It's a place of strength, of knowing that you are there. And I just move when you move. I go when you go. And I rest when you want me to rest. And Lord, help us to live that walk of union with you, to protect, to hold, to cling to that, Lord. We seek after you, to find you completely. So, Lord, continue to reveal yourself to us more and more. I love that. I just want more of you, more of you. Thank you for your work this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.